Just like to quickly remind our own people of our announcements here for the week ahead. All of the details, the full details, have been put up on the announcements on the WhatsApp group. But could I just highlight for you, tomorrow evening is the monthly ladies' fellowship, and Mrs. Cherie McRae from Carrickfergus, the wife of the Reverend Stephen McRae, will be logging on to speak at that fellowship meeting. So we want to encourage all of the sisters to join in with that. And then we resume our in-house meetings here on Wednesday evening of this incoming week. And just in the good providence of God, we have a missionary speaker coming along, the Reverend Derek Maxwell, representing the Slavic Gospel Mission, telling of the work of God in Eastern Europe. And of course, all over Europe, nations have been battling this COVID-19 pandemic. And so we look forward to hearing God's servant, what he has to tell us there of the churches and how God has been blessing them and using them in their own lands to tell out the message of redeeming grace. And then do remember, please, our meetings next Lord's Day, 12 noon and 6 p.m. And for those that are attending the meetings here in person, we would like you to send a text message, a WhatsApp message to our brother, Mr. Jeffrey Bennett, and let him know that you are coming as the seating plan once again will take shape and be laid out. So we look forward to that in the will of God, and we pray that the Lord will be with us and guide us and lead us. Now we're turning this evening to the Word of God, to Luke's Gospel chapter 5, and we're going to commence reading at verse 12, and we'll read down to verse 17. Luke's Gospel chapter 5, commencing to read at verse 12 and reading down to verse 17. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who, seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing, according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Amen. We'll end here our reading of God's word at verse 17. We know the Lord will bless it once again to his glory. This evening I'd like to direct your attention to the words of verse 12 and 13 of Luke 5. Words that I have entitled, Christ Touching the Untouchables. Christ Touching the Untouchables. We read about a certain man who was full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face. And the Bible tells him he besought him. He prayed. He sought the Lord. And he said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And then we read in verse 13 that Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. He defied all of the parameters of his day, all of the social distancing of his day to keep people safe from the spread of leprosy. And he touched him. And he said, I will, be thou clean. I believe it's one of the most moving miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ in the healing of this man who was full of leprosy. The name of the man is not given to us. His family descent is a mystery to us, and his social background. But we do know a great deal about him from the other gospel narratives. He was one who was ostracized and made an outcast by the society of his day. He was shunned by all due to the condition of leprosy that he carried. He had to be separated from the society of his day for fear of the contamination and the spread of the disease that he carried. Of all of the physical diseases that were prevalent in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, none matched that of leprosy in its physical, its social, and its spiritual impact. Dr. Thompson, speaking of the lepers in the East in biblical times, he said this: their hair falls from their head and eyebrows. Their nails loosen and decay and drop off. The joints soon wither and are useless. The gums absorb and the teeth disappear. The nose, the eyes, and the tongues are slowly consumed by that loathsome disease. What a physical constraint this man found himself in. As the deformities of the flesh wore on more and more in those far ancient days, also, not only did it become a burdensome to the man, but it became burdensome to those who saw the man. Physically, mentally, it was a burden upon those who carried it. And it was a slow, painful death to the individual who had to be shunned by society as a whole. And yet, in this miracle, we read here of the touch of the Master's hand upon this dear man who was sick with this disease of leprosy. And just one touch of the Master's hand, which was just an expression of his will to heal, just one touch of the Lord Jesus Christ, and this individual was made whole. Now there's hope tonight, and there's hope offered to all who are stained with a far greater disease than leprosy, because this disease of leprosy, spiritually, in the sight of God, it speaks of sin, because all of mankind is contaminated by sin. Sin that corrupts our hearts. Sin that corrupts our consciences. Sin that turns the minds and the dispositions of individuals away from God. Sin that we're born with and we can do nothing about whatsoever. And sin that we continually have to live with from day to day. And if we die with it, we'll go out into eternity with it and face the awesome judgment of Almighty God. The Word of God says concerning man's spiritual condition in Isaiah 1, verse 5 and 6, that the whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Although this was an exclusive picture or depiction of the leper, it certainly could have depicted this man that the Lord Jesus met. But such is the state of man spiritually, that God views the unregenerate, the unconverted, unsaved man or woman in such a manner. But the good news is this evening, that the gospel is that the great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ, by his touch upon your life, he can make you whole. Just as his touch cured the man in Luke's Gospel chapter 5, verse 12 and 13, so his touch, and it is his will that that touch would go out to some individual this evening. It might bring healing to those who are listening in, who are still enduring the malady and the disease and the terminal disease of sin, being dead in trespasses and in sin. If you're listening in this evening and you know not the Lord Jesus as your own and personal Savior, you just appear before him as this leper did of old. It's not a wonderful thing. You might be sitting in your home. You might be sitting in the comfort of your home. You might be sitting with your family or listening in at some future date in some other convenient fashion or mode. But if you're listening in unconverted, the Lord Jesus sees you spiritually as he saw this leper physically. But his touch was extended to him, as his touch is extended to you this evening. I am glad all of these years later that the Lord Jesus in grace is still reaching out and touching the untouchables. First of all, let's consider about this touch that it speaks to us of Christ's condescension. The condescension of Christ. What condescension and did God display in this wonderful miracle that we've been reading about this evening? What condescension did Christ manifest in this miracle? Because he came to this city unasked for. He was unsought for. In Luke's Gospel, verse 12, it just makes mention of a certain city. But one, when we compare with other Gospels, we know to be the city of Capernaum. And it was in this city where he was uninvited and unsought and previously unknown that the Lord Jesus came and he touched this poor man who was dying with leprosy. Nobody else could touch him. But the Lord Jesus that day put out his hand and he touched him. And he condescended to come all the way from glory to meet with that one individual and to touch him by his power and by his grace and by his majesty. Oh, what matchless condescension. William Gatsby taught us that hymn. And it's in our own hymn book. Oh, what matchless condescension the eternal God displays. Claiming our supreme attention in his boundless works and ways. And what are the ways that God displays his condescension? Well, we read, in his highest work, redemption, see his glory in a blaze, nor can angels ever mention aught that more of God displays. Grace and justice here unite in endless days. We are reminded of the truth that the Lord Jesus condescended to come into this world. To do what? Well, Luke 19 and verse 10 sums it all up. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And that's what Jesus came to do to this poor leprous man. He came to seek him. He came to save him. He came to apply his healing touch in his life. The Lord Jesus condescended to leave the sublime splendors of heaven, the celestial glory of Emmanuel's land, where the very angels in his presence, they veiled their face, and he came into a world of sin. He came into a world of woe. He came into a world of wickedness. He came face to face with such individuals as this leprous man, and he didn't turn away from them because it was for that very intent that he actually came to meet with them and to change them and to touch them. I remember hearing many years ago the testimony of Dr. Peter Trumper from Wales, a dear man of God who's long since gone to his eternal home. And as a young man, he told us in his testimony that he started off reading the Gospels. And he started off reading those Gospels just to find out more about the Lord Jesus Christ, to see if this man really did exist. But he said he didn't need to read too far until he discovered an amazing truth. Instead of Peter Trumper looking for Jesus, Jesus was looking for him. And that's what happened in this city this day. Jesus came looking for this dear man. And he's looking for you this evening. And he's looking for you that you might feel his touch upon your life and upon your soul. He condescended to come into this world of woe, not to stand aloof from sinners, but actually to touch them by his grace and by his majesty. And he's found you. He's found you wherever you're listening in from. In his great providence, he's found you. And tonight he wants to touch you, and he wants to make you whole. The text reveals that Christ condescended to touch the one that was in the greatest need. We do not read that his touch extended to any other. There were others there, of course. But it extended to the one that was full of leprosy. Out of the crowds, out of the multitudes of the city, here is a display of Christ's sovereign grace and sovereign intervention. Oh, how we thank God tonight that Christ touched us and he saw us in the crowds and his grace was extended to us. And out of lost humanity and out of the masses of lost humanity, we came to know the very touch of the Lord Jesus upon our own souls. And the Lord Jesus, of course, he's still touching souls. He meets the need. He meets those with the greatest need. Those who are sinners condemned and undone before him. Jesus said in Mark 2:17, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And the Lord Jesus, he has come. He has come to call sinners from their sin, to repent of their sin, and to turn to him that they might know his touch abiding and resting upon their lives. Oh, we've read that beautiful verse in Gatsby's hymn, in the highest work redemption, see his glory in a blaze. There on the cross of Calvary, see heavenly condescension. See how the Lord Jesus, he took the curse of the broken law for you and for me. He took all of our sin, all of our shame, all of our guilt, all of our punishment, and he paid it all. He paid it all in full by his own precious blood. He wiped the slate clean for us with Almighty God. Oh, the condescension of the blessed man of Calvary. In reaching out his hand, Jesus touched the one who that day was without hope. Here's a leper. He is at a distance from the crowd. Jesus sees him. He immediately makes his way to him and he listens to the prayer of this dear man. And here's a man in earnest before the Lord. Of course, we know that in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, leprosy was without a cure, humanly speaking. The sufferer oftentimes just had to look forward, if we could put it like that, to years of agony, years of social isolation, to be bereft of family and comfort due to the isolation that this illness entailed. And dear unsaved, we could say to you likewise tonight, left to your own devices, there would be no hope for you, there would be no hope for me. We would be left undone in this world. We would be left just to face the grave and the judgment without any hope of grace, without any hope of mercy. But God sent his Son and God intervened in our lives through the person and the work of his own dear Son. And there is hope. There is hope for the hopeless tonight because the Lord Jesus, he came to touch those that nobody else could do anything for. And if you believe tonight, nobody can do anything for you other than the Lord Jesus Christ. It's his touch. It's his touch alone that you need and that can minister grace to your heart and to your life. What condescension Christ displays. He stooped so low to lift so little as sinners as you and I that he might take us to heaven and to glory with him at the end of life's journey. So this touch reminds us of the condescension of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then secondly, it speaks of the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. The same incident is recorded in Matthew's Gospel and in Mark's Gospel. And we read in Mark 1:41 that Jesus was moved with compassion. And it was because he was moved with compassion, the Bible tells us, that he put forth his hand and he touched this man. Moved with compassion, he touched the man. The word that is used here for compassion in the original is a very strong, expressive word. It expresses the desire of the inner man. It expresses the burden of the heart. The Lord Jesus was touched in his heart when he saw the condition of this leprous man that was in front of him. And such was the compassion of his heart that it moved his hand to touch him. What a picture of God's grace. What a picture of God's love. What a picture of God's compassion. The Lord Jesus heard this poor man's plea. Hear his prayer. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Here he was, disheveled. Here he was, without hope. Here he was, downcast. He said, Lord, I know if it's your will, you can make me clean. And the Lord Jesus listened to the prayer of this dear individual, and his heart was moved within him, and his hand was outstretched toward the individual. And I'm glad that the very heart of Christ is still moved by the prayers of penitent sinners. He hears the prayer of the penitent. He hears the prayer of the youngest child that will call unto God for grace and for mercy. And it touches his heart. Your plea mightn't touch anybody else, but I assure you tonight, your plea will touch the very heart of God in heaven. Your prayer will touch Christ itself. And if you touch Christ, then you're touching heaven's throne. And you'll find an outstretched arm of mercy. What love does Christ have for sinners? The Bible tells us his touch was as a direct response of the sinner before him. And I'm glad that though Christ has gone back to heaven, he's there, the glorified one, he hasn't changed. His love and compassion, it still moves in mercy towards those that are in the greatest need. And if you are the sinner condemned before Almighty God tonight, if you are the sinner still unsaved and unconverted, it doesn't matter how comfortable your situation is tonight, you're the one in the greatest need before Almighty God, spiritually speaking. And he's reaching out to you. Christ is reaching out to you in loving and mercy. The compassion of Christ toward the sinner is expressed in his desire for their healing and for their salvation. The leper said, if thou wilt. And what did Jesus say? Maybe, perhaps, not a bit of it. Jesus said, I will. I will. And in expressing his will, he put his hand upon him. What a wonderful picture is displayed here of the willingness of the Lord Jesus Christ to save those that are lost. He wills that sinners be saved. He desires that sinners be saved. The Bible tells us he is willing to save all those that will come unto God by him. And if you will cry to him for night, tonight for mercy, as this leprous man did all of those years ago, you will find he's willing. He is willing. And he is willing to save you this very evening. He is willing to make you whole. This compassion is extended to all. The Lord Jesus Christ, he receives all who come unto God by him. Here was a leper, and the religious men of his day couldn't touch him. They wouldn't have been in the same vicinity of him. They daren't even have allowed their clothes brush up against his clothes. They would have been defiled and unclean thereafter. But Job 36 verse 5 tells us that God despiseth not any. Not a wonderful statement. We live in an age of racial segregation and despising. That is an indictment upon us in 2021. But the Lord Jesus despises none. If you're a follower of Christ, you ought not to despise any, because he despises none. This man full of leprosy, the great physician, Luke tells us, he took note of him. He took note of him, and he was received, and he was welcomed by Christ. Can anyone doubt the willingness of Christ to receive sinners? Here we have an illustration of it wonderfully outlaid for us. His touch was not denied to this vile and gloatsome leper who was enduring such a disease. And it will not be withheld from you either this evening. And no matter how dark your past has been, and no matter what sins you may be trying to hide, even this very day, the Bible tells us that this man receiveth sinners. Christ Jesus came into the world to receive sinners. If he could receive Paul, the chiefest of sinners, he can receive you. He can make you whole. Oh, what you have to do is you have to call upon him. You have to seek his love. You have to seek his compassion, just as this leprous man did. There was no blockage in the way for you to come to Christ tonight, except your own pride, except your own feeling of self-worth. But let all of those things be cast aside. Realize that you have no hope without getting to the Savior, but you can come to him. He's just a prayer away. And he will hear your prayer. He will hear your cry. I want you to notice, thirdly, and in closing with me tonight, that Christ's touch, it speaks of his cleansing. This poor man knew what he wanted from Christ. He was very specific. And of course, this is a reference to the ceremonial law, as it is found in Leviticus chapter 13, 14, 15, all of those chapters there that deal with the laws pertaining to leprosy. And he said to the master, the great physician, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Thou canst make me clean." Here was an anxious, earnest inquirer, and he was inquiring after the healing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the text tells us that he fell on his face. He bowed low in the ground before him. He took the sinner's place and he besought the Lord. Hear him pleading and crying for mercy. "Lord, cleanse me. Lord, cleanse me." All those who heard him could see what he needed to be cleansed from: the defilement of leprosy, the twisting and the contortions that leprosy had made in his body, the plagues that were on his body were visible for all to see. And he confessed before them all, "Lord, will you cleanse me?" But you have an issue of the heart tonight that no one sees but God. But you still need cleansed from it. And it's called sin. And your heart needs to be cleansed from sin. And if it's not cleansed from sin, you will remain separated from God, not just in time, but for all of God's great eternity. And I wonder, is there somebody listening in this evening, and God has spoken to you, and you see your heart, you know it's defiled with sin, and you know what you need to be before God? You need to be cleansed before God. Well, come before him and seek him and cry unto him. Let me direct you to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. He is the one who hears the sinner's prayer. He is the one whose touch can cleanse the sinner's heart and make that individual whole. I want you to notice that although this leper realized that only the Lord Jesus had power to cleanse, it was not until he came into personal contact with Christ that the leprosy was cleansed. It's not until the Lord's hand personally rested upon him that the leprosy immediately departed. It's not enough for you to know that Christ does cleanse. It's not enough for you to know that his blood washes whiter than snow. It's not enough for you to know that salvation is free of charge to all who will come. You must personally, you must individually know his touch upon your life, and you must personally and individually appropriate his wonderful salvation. Upon recognition of your lost estate, oh, I urge you to cry to the Lord for cleansing, the cleansing that only the blood of Christ alone can bestow. The Bible tells us that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Listen to that again. He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. And if you confess your sin before him, you don't have to do it in front of me. Praise the Lord, you don't have to do that. Or a church session, or a church diaconate, or church members. You go before God, and in the name of Jesus, you find an entrance to the very throne room of heaven itself. And when you seek the Lord for mercy, and when you seek the Lord for pardon, you will know his cleansing applied to your heart and to your life. The leper who sought cleansing, he received the touch of Christ upon his body, and he was made whole. Instantaneously, there and then, he was made whole, and he was restored. And that body that was decaying and was infected, it was made clean there and then before the Savior. And here and now before the Savior, wherever you are, you can be made clean. What a wonderful message the gospel is. You don't have to work at it. You don't have to strive at it. Christ did all the work. It was his blood and it was his sweat. It was his agony that was the work. All you and I have to do is to accept the work that he did on our behalf. And what a wonderful change comes into the life when Jesus touches upon it. What a wonderful change this man knew. The Lord Jesus charged him to tell no man, but to go and show himself to the priest and offer for his cleansing according to Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And the Bible tells us, verse 15, his fame went abroad and great multitudes came together to hear. You know, when the Lord touches an individual, when the Lord cleanses an individual, when the Lord transforms an individual, there's a transformation. Because if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He's a new creation. And that's what happened to this man. People couldn't believe what they saw. They had known him probably for years in this condition, but now he was clean. He was every whit clean. He had offered the sacrifices as commanded in the temple, and now he could mix in the broader community, and people wanted to know from him what had happened. How did this miracle in his life take place? And as they saw him and heard him, they wanted to hear more about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us as a result, many came to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. Oh, I pray this evening that some soul listening in, that you'll know the Master's touch upon your life. And that through God and grace touching your life, that others will see Christ in your life. That you'll go out tomorrow into work, or in your home, or in your family, or amongst your friends, or even in the community that you're mixing in and having to live in, and that your life will so be changed by the marvelous transforming grace of God that others will want to hear the Lord Jesus Christ as well, and will come to him to be healed of their infirmities. May he touch you tonight. May his mighty hand of grace rest upon you. May your life never be the same again. And may God raise you up to newness of life and to be a new witness and testimony for him in this society and in which we live and work and mix. Let's please unite our hearts together in prayer. And let's seek the Lord this evening for the word of God that has been declared that the Lord will bless it. I want to say again, even if you're listening in, if you need help, you'll find the email address on the website. Don't be afraid to use it. Let us know if we can be of any spiritual help to anyone listening in. Please, please get in contact with us. Heavenly Father and eternal God, we thank thee that Christ is but a prayer away. He was but a prayer away for this poor leprous man. And we thank thee that he is but a prayer away for the very foulest and vilest offender. We pray, Lord, that you will help individuals who have been listening in to examine their own hearts, to see what only God can see, the defilement, the corruption of their own lives, and that this night they might be led to Christ and drawn to Christ. And that God will be pleased even to use their testimony, their transformation, their being made whole to bring others to hear the Master and to be healed by him. We look to thee for our land. Lord, there are many across this land of ours, and they are dying with the infirmity of sin. And we cry, Lord, that the touch of grace might be extended to them, and that God in grace and mercy will reach out to them and minister to them. And this night across this nation of ours, that many will be touched by God and healed and spiritually in their hearts and lives and raised up to newness of life in the Lord Jesus Christ. We commend this day to thee. We thank thee for thy help and presence with us, even in our online services, as we would come, Lord, in the week ahead in thy will to our own public services. We pray that that very sense of God's presence might intensify, and that we might know the Lord's grace, we might know the Lord's nearness and his presence, and that God will come in blessing to his church and to his tabernacle once again. So hear us now, we beseech thee, as we offer these our prayers, believing in Jesus' name. Amen. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Ghost rest, remain, and abide with you, both now and evermore. Amen.